Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm your host, Megan.
I'm Hannah.
And today we have the story of the Bennington Triangle for you.
I'm excited for this one.
Woot woot.
That was beautiful. We got pumped.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to start off with a little background. The Green Mountain National Forest occupies roughly half of the Bennington County, Vermont, and the Glastonbury Mountains are in the middle. The Bennington Triangle is a phrase that was coined by New England author Joseph A. Citro during a radio broadcast in 1992. This was used to describe the area of southwestern Vermont where a number of people went missing between 1945 and 1950. There are many different legends and the details can vary, but most people agree that everything started with a curse.
That's never good.
Native Americans called Glastonbury Mountain cursed, and they hated it so much, they used it strictly for burying their dead.
Huh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's cursed, let's just bury all our dead people there.
Why not?
That's great. That's not going to add to the curse or anything.
Oh. Okay. Native American legends say that the land is cursed because all four winds met in one spot in an eternal struggle.
That really does not sound like a great thing.
It doesn't. And the wind patterns on the mountain are so erratic that the weather changes very suddenly and the plants grow at odd angles.
I mean, it sounds like Minnesota to me.
Minus the odd angled plants.
Well, yeah, mom has a really odd angled plant upstairs, actually.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I was looking at it. I was like, what is that? I saw it today.
See?
That's right. True. The mountain is said to have trails that just stop partway up, and there's a deafening silence.
Don't love that.
Like, there are no noises from wildlife, no birds, no squirrels. Nothing.
In the middle of the woods.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think I've ever been in woods that were silent before.
Absolutely not.
Ever.
There's always something happening, some noises.
Bugs.
And
like something.
I definitely trust the animals. Like, if they're not going there, there's a problem.
Yep. Same.
They're very intuitive. Now, if you're anything like me, the curse saying all four winds met in one spot drove me bananas. I could be wrong about this entirely, but it actually seems to be a biblical reference, and so I'm going to attempt to explain. The four winds means the directions or four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. Revelation 7 talks about four angels that were standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. And no, this isn't Dr. Seuss. So it breaks it down. I'm positive. It breaks it down and says the north winds bring rain and judgment.
Okay, don't like that.
I don't want to be judged by the wind.
I don't want to be judged by the wind either.
The south winds can be hot or gentle. If it's gentle, it brings peace and tranquility.
Okay.
I don't know what it brings when it's hot, though.
Oh.
So.
I don't like the unknown of that.
Right.
It makes me nervous.
It could be gentle, or it could be something else.
I mean, hot does not sound like it's going to be gentle. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, I like the hot winds of Florida.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, the west winds bring rain and restoration.
Oh, I'll take that one.
Well, the east winds are strong and can affect lives negatively.
I don't need any more of that wind.
And it brings crisis, tragedy, or destruction.
Again, I don't need any more of that wind.
And from what I gather, the winds are supposed to be separate, and it's pretty much like bad news bears if they're all together.
Okay.
So.
That's great.
There you go.
So there's a curse and the wind, and they bury their dead there.
Yes.
And it's silent.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That is sounds one place like, I'm never going.
Oh, I was just going to say, we should go. So that was a no?
No.
Okay.
I'm good on that. I mean, we don't need any more
bad luck. You're going to like the next part.
Okay.
So there is another Native American legend that talks about the man-eating stone on top of Glastonbury Mountain.
I don't know what that means, but if the Native Americans said it's a thing, it's a thing.
Well, basically, if someone steps on the stone, it opens up and swallows you.
What?
like,
poof, you're gone?
Bye!
Do you just, like, chill in the tummy, or where do you go?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well... The Bennington Triangle is most famously known for disappearances that have happened, but there have also been other strange events, including sightings of UFOs, Bigfoot, and strange lights and sounds.
I mean, that honestly sounds better than all the wind. And a man-eating rock, I'm just saying.
That's true. There's a lot happening.
I'll take the aliens.
Well, the... Bennington monster sightings date back to the early 1800s, and we're going to circle back to that later in the story as well. Glastonbury was mostly uninhabited by European... I can't say it. European settlers.
You got there.
Yay. Before the 1700s, and it started off as a ghost town. In 1761, Benning Wentworth drew the town boundaries on a map without ever going there. The land was rough and the growing season was short. In 1791, there were six families that lived in the tiny community and...
Six?
Just six.
Okay.
It became a logging town.
It's like a town. It's like a little freaking neighborhood. That ain't a damn town.
They were probably all family members, too.
They probably were.
By 1870, there were about 240 people living in the town, but they had actually stripped too many trees from the mountain, and this led to the town's decline.
How? How could six people?
Well, now there's 240.
Oh, I was like,
yeah.
What?
No.
I was like, how in the hell did they strip too many damn trees?
No.
I missed that. My bad.
The logging damaged the landscape and wildlife, and suddenly the mountain was turning into a ghost town again. In 1892, there was a fight between two loggers, Henry McDowell, but his real name was William Conroy.
What? Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea why they called him the other name. He must have just gone by it. I don't know.
There's been many times where I've been writing stories where they do that. It throws me off so bad, but I'm just like, whatever.
Well,
I guess, have at it.
He murdered John Crowley.
Oh.
Yeah.
That
so
nice.
Henry hit John in the head with a piece of wood or a rock, depending on which story you read.
Okay.
And John didn't die right away from this injury. And so Henry just waited around in the area and kept coming and checking back on him until he died. Yeah.
I hate that.
Isn't that so weird?
That's disgusting.
Like, maybe I'm just gonna head into town, grab a bite to eat, run some errands, and then I'll come see if you're dead.
That's awful.
Yes. Then he took off riding the rails into Canada. He was tried and sentenced to Waterbury State Mental Hospital for the murder. While he was there, he worked on the grounds each day, and one day, he hid in a load of coal and was able to escape.
Great.
So Henry disappeared and was never seen again.
Do you know what he said?
What?
He said, bye!
Okay.
I have no self-control, clearly.
In 1897, John Harbor, father of four children, was murdered. He was killed on opening day of the first deer season that Vermont ever held. John's body was discovered in the woods, and they never figured out what happened. In the summer of 1898, the people in the area decided to turn the mountain into a tourist attraction.
What?
Yeah.
Like, a mountain with all these damn issues now is a tourist attraction?
Exactly.
But so, people are gonna get sucked into the rocks!
Maybe they didn't know that. I don't know. They wanted some monies.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Well, the loggers' boarding houses were turned into a hotel. The apartment house and store was turned into a casino, and they ditched the work trains for trolleys. This was only able to run for one summer because there was a massive flood during the fall season, and it destroyed the buildings and the railway into Glastonbury.
It clearly was not meant to be.
Well, hey. They got the message. That was it. No one attempted to rebuild, and everyone just moved out.
Good job, people.
In 1943, a man named Carol Herrick went missing during a hunting trip. He was about 10 miles northeast of the Glastonbury, and his body was discovered 3 days later. He was surrounded by huge, mysterious footprints, and he had been squeezed to death.
Ew!
Yeah.
That is...
I don't want to go that
ew.
Way. If I have a choice.
No.
I don't want that.
Squeezed to death?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Now, this death doesn't actually show up in many of the articles that discuss the Bennington Triangle disappearances, and I believe it's because this is the only one that has footprints involved, and it wasn't technically in Glastonbury.
But he was squeezed to death.
He was. And I think that this belongs in the story because it does tie in with, like, the Bennington monster theory that we're going to discuss.
Ooh.
Yeah. So stay with us. Mitty Rivers was a lifelong resident of the area, and he was an experienced hunting and fishing guide. On November 12, 1945, he was leading a group of hunters through the mountain, and the weather was pretty mild. Mitty was 74 years old, but he was in great health. I know.
That name is so cute.
I love it. Mitty Rivers.
It's adorable.
During the walk, Mitty got slightly ahead of the group and just disappeared around 4 p.m.
I'm sorry, the 70-year-old, some 70-something-year-old, was
yeah,
ahead of the group.
He's 74 and he's walking faster than everybody else.
That's amazing.
Yes. There was a massive search to locate him, but the only thing that people ever found was one rifle cartridge. This was actually believed to be from Mitty's own bullet belt, and it was discovered on the banks of the nearby creek. Searchers looked for him for over a month, but the seasons changed and snow began to fall. They realized they were not going to find him, and the search was called off.
That's sad.
I know. Next is Paula Jean Weldon, who was 18 years old and disappeared on December 1st, 1946. Paula was a sophomore at Bennington, and she went for a hike on the Long Trail. Many people saw Paula out on the hike, including an employee who gave her directions. Paula was also spotted on the trail by several others, and there was an elderly couple that said they were about maybe 100 yards behind her. And at one point, Paula turned a corner in the trail around 4 p.m., and she was gone.
That's weird.
The couple turned the corner, and they couldn't see Paula any longer.
When 100 yards isn't that far back.
No, not at all. When she didn't return to school, a search was conducted, and the FBI got involved, but there wasn't any evidence that was ever found. People that saw Paula said she was wearing a bright red jacket when she left, and the temps dropped from 50 degrees to 9 degrees that night. Some rumors claim that Paula moved to Canada with a boyfriend or just became a recluse living in the mountains.
She just walked around the corner and moved to Canada.
You like that one?
That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous because she didn't bring any clothes, documentation, money. Like, she brought nothing with her. So that theory is bonkers to me.
Yeah.
Some witnesses from college say that Paula was acting kind of strange on this day. Like, she was in a funk. One of her friends suggested, hey, you should just go out for a walk and that might help your mood.
Jesus, that friend probably beat himself up for so long.
I can't imagine how awful that would feel.
I absolutely would, like, hate myself after that.
Right? Like, I don't know how you move past that. It's not her fault, obviously,
not at all.
Yikes. James E. Tedford was a veteran who went missing on December 1st, 1949. This was 3 years to the day from Paula's disappearance.
Oh, boy.
James was a resident of the Bennington Soldiers' Home, and he had been visiting some relatives, and then he took a local bus so that he could go back home. According to witnesses, he got on the bus and was still on it at the last stop before arriving in Bennington. Including James, there were only 14 people on the bus that were headed to the last stop. Between the last stop and Bennington, James vanished.
How do these people just keep disappearing?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
But his luggage was on the rack and his bus timetable was sitting on his vacant seat.
Weird. That's yeah. Creepy.
Now, I will say there are some sources that say this story was like blown out of proportion and he wasn't actually reported missing for 2 weeks. So if that's true, the people that were interviewed from the bus probably wouldn't remember if someone else on the bus got on or off. Like, that's not going to stick in your head.
Right.
But there were, like, several articles that say, this is what happened. So there you go.
All right.
Paul Jeffson was 8 years old and disappeared on October 12th, 1950. Paul and his mother were in a truck and she left her son unattended just briefly while she tended to the pigs, and when she came back, Paul was gone. He was wearing a bright red jacket that day, which...
Isn't that what the other chick was wearing?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, Paula. So this should have been... Wait, was that Paula? Paul and Paula.
Stop!
We're wearing red.
Stop!
That's scaring me.
It's Paul and Paula?
Yes.
Legitimately?
Yes.
I don't like that. That's okay. Actually super weird.
Yeah. Okay, so the red jacket should have made this child, like, very visible, but nobody saw anything.
Same with Paula.
Yeah, same with Paula.
She should have been absolutely visible.
Yeah. And there is a story that claims bloodhounds tracked the scent of Paul to a local highway, and this was the spot Paula Weldon disappeared from 4 years prior.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate this.
Heebie-jeebies. Now, Paul's father did say that his son had been talking for days about visiting the mountains. Like, he didn't know why, but he just kept talking about it. The rain was pouring on this particular night and there were mudslides, so it was really difficult for them to search. Many people in town accused Paul's parents of murdering him and feeding him to the pigs.
Gross.
Yes.
I wondered if that was coming.
There was, in every article I looked through, there was no evidence or anything that points in this direction, but that's what the town people thought.
Yeah, I just wondered because, like, when you said feeding the pigs and everything.
Yeah.
And I got nervous.
Yeah. They weren't feeding children to them, I don't believe.
Hopefully not.
Right.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's frowned upon. For real.
That's frowned upon. Yes, ma'am. It is indeed.
Always come to me for advice. All right. So the last disappearance happened 16 days after Paul. On October 28th, 1950, Frieda Langer, age 53, was with her cousin, Herbert Elsner. They left their family campsite near the Somerset Reservoir, and they planned to go on a hike. During the hike, Frieda actually slipped and fell into a stream. And she wanted to go back and change her clothes and said, "Herbert, can you just, like, wait here for a little bit?" She said she would run back to the campsite, change, and then catch back up with him. They were only about 100 yards from the campsite anyway, and she knew this area very well.
And again, 100 yards is not that much.
It's not. Well, Herbert waited, and she didn't come back, so he finally just headed back to the campsite, and the family members were like, "Frieda never came back." Searches were conducted over the next 2 weeks, and there wasn't a trace of Frieda. This disappearance is different than the others, though. On May 12, 1951, Frieda's body was discovered near Somerset Reservoir.
Oh, so she was actually found.
Yeah. Now, the area her body was discovered had been extensively searched previously.
Oh.
Like, they had up to 300 searchers. And they used aircraft and helicopters. No cause of death has ever been determined for her.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, at least she wasn't squeezed to death.
Right.
That's still sticking with me. It freaked me out, dude.
I don't like it.
It really freaked me out.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to go over a couple of theories. Like I was talking about earlier, there's one that we're coming back to, so here we go. One story says that in the early 1800s, a stagecoach driver and some passengers reported a sighting of a hairy beast, also known as the Bennington Monster. There was a sudden downpour, and they had to pull over to wait for the rain to stop. The driver noticed that something was spooking the horses, and when he got out, he saw some enormous footprints in the mud that clearly were not human. He asked the passengers to come out and take a look, and everyone gathered around the footprints. Then they heard a loud thud, and the stagecoach was attacked by a large creature, and then it was knocked on its side. The passengers saw a pair of red eyes, and they said the creature was like 8 feet tall. There have been other sightings of the Bennington Monster throughout the years. The monster is typically described as large, black, hairy, and stands over 6 feet tall. Many people believe that the Bennington Monster is responsible for some of the disappearances. One interesting thing to note is that there are reports from the first colonists in the area that say they often heard strange noises coming from the mountains, and they reported extremely awful odors.
Which is, like, crazy because they were, like, one of the very first there, and then, you know, it's not like some story had been passed down or something.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that it was enough for them to actually be like, "Hey, something's weird here."
Yeah, exactly. And one thing that's reported often with Bigfoot sightings is awful odors.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe.
Maybe.
Some people say that they think there could be a serial killer in the area.
That doesn't really sound right.
Right, because it's such a wide range of, like, there's ages and genders.
Yeah.
For everyone that's missing. But the only thing that made me kind of go, well, maybe, is if you look at all the time frames that the people went missing, it was always, like, around October through December.
Well, maybe that's when the monster
comes out of hibernating.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm just saying, maybe it was someone that was coming back in the area. I don't think that it makes sense, but I'm just throwing it in for argument's sake.
Yeah, it doesn't, because I feel like somebody would hear or see something, especially with only being 100 yards away from, you know, the situation. Like, I feel like somebody would hear, like, a scream or something, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody got eaten by rocks.
Well, how do you feel about alien abductions or wormholes?
Oh, didn't think of that. But all right.
Or maybe there's a wormhole inside of the man-eating rock.
Holy shit!
Whoa.
You are just... Oh my god, you are going down some crazy-ass road right now.
I'm so tired.
Oh, man. I mean, that sounds even more horrifying than just the rock eating people, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Unless you can wormhole out.
I don't think so, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay. I did see a lot of people think that hypothermia is actually to blame in these cases.
Because that's why people just disappear around damn corners.
Okay, listen. I don't believe in this one either, personally, but I'm throwing it out there for those that do.
People try to think too logically. That's the problem.
I know. I love the weirdo theories.
Yeah, I do too.
And anything normal, I'm like, no, it can't be that.
It literally couldn't. They wouldn't find bodies then.
Well, okay.
People wouldn't just straight disappear.
The temperatures on the mountains can drop really low. And the disappearances, like I said, tend to happen in the winter. It's possible that people are going missing and, like, burrowing into small spaces to survive.
No. Tell me how the fuck somebody would be 100 yards away from somebody else walking and literally just burrow into some weird-ass place and then an entire search team is sent and they're not found. That makes zero sense.
Okay. So the mountain has a lot of unmarked mine shafts and wells, and maybe... within 100 yards, they're falling in really fast. Like, they, whoop, fall.
And they don't think to scream. And there's no,
because
no
they're
the
too
ground.
Cold to scream.
Holy shit. Okay. All right. This is interesting.
Oh, boy. That's all I have.
Oh.
That's literally everything. That's all of the theories.
Okay, I'm not... I don't know what's happening here, but I really don't think people are getting hypothermia. Only 100 yards from, and wasn't, like, an older couple back behind her?
Yes.
Yeah, so that makes zero fucking sense, because then they would have gotten it before her. And, like, how are you just gonna fall into a mine shaft and not, like, scream up and, like, with people literally right there? How they're not gonna hear a damn thing?
I don't know. I actually watched several different things online, and everyone was like, oh, yeah, it's hypothermia.
Oh, my God.
So that was the general consensus. I think it's a mixture. I'm going to go with the I'm siding with the Native American legends.
Yeah.
It's definitely a man eating rock.
100%.
And I also think the Bennington monster is real.
Yeah, and I know that we've had, like, extensive conversations while walking in the mountains, ironically.
Yeah.
About, like, you know, they're still discovering new creatures every freaking day.
It's yeah.
Like, there's still definitely parts of this earth that have not been discovered.
Right.
And I absolutely do believe that there could be other things out there that we just don't know about. And obviously people will fight you on it because they're like, well, it's Bigfoot. You would see, like, this giant creature. But, dude.
We just discovered a whole ass whale.
Exactly. And not only that, but, like, how many people have reported over and over and over and over and over that they're seeing Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just like, oh, no. It's a logical reason. No
know.
Big deal.
Yeah.
But it's like the reports go back so far, too.
Yeah.
It's like not something new that just popped up. So I fully believe that it could be something to do with that type
of
thing.
Oh, yeah. I think there's so many mysteries that we have no idea about.
Yep.
And so I definitely think that the Bennington Triangle has weirdo juju stuff happening.
You was your juju
today,
man.
Jujus.
Oh, man. Oh, that was a good one.
Yay.
Man, rock. I still can't get over the squeeze to death either. That just... Ugh.
Well, it always makes me think of, like, big-ass snakes.
Oh, my God! Okay, I'm gonna have nightmares, so I'm
and
done with you now.
That scares me a lot. Like, that's a fear.
I'm done with
I
you.
Don't want that.
I'm done.
Okay. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest. That's everything.
Okay. Thanks for ruining my day.
Okay. Give us a 5-star review if you love us. Tell your friends, tell your cats. Bye.